Amen. Amen.
Give you a two-pack. No, no. I put it in my pocket. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Want to thank you for your presence this morning. Want to thank you for the Word of God. We are so very thankful, Lord, that we have this opportunity. We really don't know what the future holds, the instability of economies and governments, and the plans and programs that we as a people have. Father, we want to thank you that we have this opportunity to dig into your word, to hear your voice, and to move with you in unison with your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Are you tired? You're not tired. You sound tired. Don't sound like you have too much energy. Praise the Lord. I want to go back a little bit into light and darkness. Brother Tujoki was very thorough. But I believe that there are some things that we need to look at concerning light and darkness so that we really understand it. The people who are involved with education and all of that type of those type of affairs, they say that repetition is how you learn, how you remember. In fact, they tell me that you can come in here and you can sit down and you can hear, but it was either 3 to 5 hours, you have forgotten about 75 to 85% of what it was you heard. That is why it is very good to take notes or to get the tapes and go back over them. And by the time 24 hours has elapsed, you will only in your conscious memory retain somewhere between 10 and 12% of what you heard. So it's very important. Very important. When I leave here and go back to my room, I take the tapes that I have and I put them on my recorder and I put them on and I listen to them. I want to be sure that I hear what it is the Spirit wants me to hear. And I want to admonish you, if you don't take what it is that we have been given to you and dig into it, and let God speak to you personally concerning it. Hallelujah. It is of no value to you. In fact, it becomes religion. And we have made a mistake in church because we think that church is to teach us religion. But that is not why we're supposed to be meeting together. Are meeting together that we might have a personal experience with a living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Church should be like you going on a journey. When you go on a journey to a place that you have not been to before, I don't know what you do, but I get my map out. I look to see where it is I'm going, and I try to calculate the best way to get there. Hallelujah. And so it is in church, we should be learning, not about God, but who and what, and be able to meet God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A lot of people know about God. I can drive down the streets. I don't see it so much here in this economy. But many places in Africa that I have been. India. Everybody seems to know about God. They have scripture verses written on their cars, and they're always saying things about God. Praise the Lord. There seems to be a God consciousness of some God, but I do not believe that they really know who or what God is. Praise the Lord. We have kind of lost our way in the reality of who God is. Praise the Lord. And you know, it seems as though we have been quite willing. It seems as though we have been quite willing to be misled. But there is a wake-up call coming to the church. And when I say the church, I don't mean the buildings and where people gather. I am talking about people that are in those buildings that have or want something of a reality of God. Hallelujah. Because unless you can give the reality of God in your life as well as the lives of people around you, your Christianity is in vain. Did you hear me? It's in vain. You know, in the end of the day, when it comes down to the time of Jesus Christ judging the church, there will be many that will say, did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not heal the sick in your name? Did I not bring many souls into the kingdom in your name? Hallelujah. I am sure your Swahili Bible, or whatever language your Bible is written in, tells you the same story. The word or the condemnation or the execution of judgment that is upon that segment of the church is depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Did you hear me? He is talking to the religious system, the people who are in the religious system. I don't know how we miss it or how we look over it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The church is in trouble. When I say church, I mean people. The people in the church are in trouble. And if God has called you, you have a ministry in the midst of the people. And you are not telling people of their problem. If you are not giving them a remedy to their problem of relationship with a personal God, then you, as a ministry, are accountable for the soul of those people. In fact, what it says is that their blood will be upon your head. It's a serious responsibility. It's a serious situation. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of getting a building and gathering people together and then getting into quoting a few scriptures and bringing something of a word of salvation, maybe even baptizing them, and then Sunday after Sunday they come to your meeting, they sit there and listen to you speak to them, and they go back out the door and they're back in the same mess, they're back in the same hole, they're having to deal with the same devils that they had to deal with when they came into the door. Something is wrong with the ministry. Something is wrong with your relationship with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God that God brings to me to give to somebody is a word that always convicts me. Me. I have to go home. I have to get down before the Lord. I have to repent. Hallelujah. The word of God that I bring to you, hallelujah, amen, must first be applied to the husband man. Hallelujah. It says, you know, we have thought that to be the husbandmen must be the first partakers of the fruit. We wanted to put it in the category of prosperity. We want to put it in the category of popularity. We want to put it into the category of prestige, or a position, or a place, a preeminence. That seems to be where we want to put that type of scripture. Hallelujah. But the word that you minister should be a word that has a two-edged, is like unto a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. It cuts going this way, but it also cuts coming back this way. Hallelujah. So I am the first to be the partaker of the judgment and the word of correction that is in the word. Hallelujah. And I have another little secret to tell you, if you do not know it, is that when you begin to minister a word, and your word is under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and it is in line with the thought and the intent of God concerning you as well as the people, what I'm saying is, if your word is living, then that living word, is as it goes out of your mouth, is going to begin to loose and bind certain things. Hallelujah. In your personal situation, if I come and begin to minister to you the message of death to self, then that word of ministry to you, hallelujah, is a word that is very pertinent to me. And as I share with you the message of death to self, I am giving God the liberty to begin begin to order certain steps in my personal life and environment. Hallelujah. That will give me the opportunity to come up to what it is I am preaching. Hallelujah. We sometimes are presumptuous in our attitude concerning what the unction or the anointing that God gives us in this forum. And sometimes we take it as a sign, or we take it as a commendation from God that we are okay. Hallelujah. If you are moving under the unction of God, then you are always down here, but you are ministering up here. And 9 times out of 10, what you are ministering is something that you are not practicing. It's not something that is in your life, in the fullness of what it is that you are preaching. So it's very necessary for God to begin to loose your circumstances and allow you to be tribulated on the basis of what it is that you are speaking. Hallelujah. What I'm telling you is the mechanics of how it works. Hallelujah. As ministers in the church, we have too long thought of ourselves too highly. Of course, I should say probably me, because I don't know that you have that problem. But knowing your humanity is the same humanity that I am having to deal with. Hallelujah. I am sure that there is some area of improvement in your lives that God is wanting to touch. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know, God called me out of the church at a very, very early age in my walk with Him. I was born and bred in the Baptist. I went into the Pentecostal. And I wasn't there very long before the Lord began to speak to me personally. Began to speak to me and my wife personally about the need to come out of that organizational system. I did not have somebody like you that is coming to minister and tell you the rights and the wrongs of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He just began to deal with me, and he began to deal with certain other members that I was in association with. Most of which were my maternal family. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember one Sunday morning. I don't remember if it was a dream or a vision, but I began to share with my wife the burden I had not to go to church, but to call the others and see if we could arrange a home meeting. Hallelujah. I was very young in the Lord, just recently baptized in the Spirit of God, very little knowledge of the Word of God. Hallelujah. I knew by experience about being saved or born again. I knew by experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But all of the things that you may or may not be aware of, I was not aware of them. I was ignorant. Hallelujah. And so there were about four or five of us that decided to meet in my mother's home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
She had a little couch about the size of these three chairs. Now, can you imagine five people sitting on that length of space? We were kind of pressed in, sitting down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we really didn't know what to do. We had just felt the burden to meet. There was a consensus within and amongst us that we should not go to church that morning, but we should meet. Hallelujah. So we all came in and sat down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We kind of looked at each other. Well, what do we do now? What happens next? And somebody suggested, well, we could pray. And we decided, yes, that sounds like a good idea. Let us pray. And no more than we started to praying, and God came down in that living room. Hallelujah. And there were five of us sitting, like I said, in that couch. I was sitting here. My wife was sitting here. I had a mother sitting here, a brother sitting here, and I had another, not my natural sister, but a sister in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And somebody no more got the words, Lord, we come to you in your name, out of their mouth. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of God fell, I was sitting in this chair on this side, like where this brother is sitting. And when it fell on me, I began to prophesy. Now, I don't know, maybe you're familiar with prophecy. I wasn't. I had been taught all of my life that prophecy was something that went out when the disciples and the church was disseminated back in Jesus, after Jesus' crucifixion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just giving you a little history so you know where I'm coming from. Hallelujah. And as I begin to prophesy, I must have prophesied for maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes. When the Spirit lifted off of me, it fell on my wife. And she began to prophesy where I had left off. Hallelujah. Now this is something very foreign to all of us. We had no experience with this. Hallelujah. And she prophesied for 15 or 20 minutes, and when the Spirit left, it fell on my mother. My goodness. My mother was a very quiet person. She was a very shy person. And she would be very embarrassed if she was outside of herself, looking at herself, doing what she was doing. Hallelujah. She was a very proper person. Hallelujah. But when the Spirit began to fall, when the Spirit fell on her, she became very activated, very motivated, very visual and physical in her actions and in the strength in which she was speaking. Hallelujah. And we went through this scenario from her to my brother and to the sister that was sitting on the end of the couch. Hallelujah. When we had finished, hallelujah, God told us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, how often to do it, and how in the doing of it, what He would do when we did it. Hallelujah. And that little group of people, those five people, hallelujah, one of the things that God had instructed us to do was to meet in my mother's home,
I
meet for prayer, and to seeking the face of God, and that He would come and He would visit us in those times of seeking His face. He said to us that, you are not to advertise. You're not to tell people what you are doing. He said, I will bring those people who I want to have you fellowship with to your mother's door. Hallelujah. That little group of people, five people, grew from 5 to 70 to 75 people. Hallelujah. It became so large that we began to get in trouble with the neighborhood. Cars being parked out on the street and in front of people's houses. Cars being parked out on the street in front of people's houses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. People from all over the world came to my mother's doorstep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Organized church will tell you it doesn't work. You got to get out in front of people. You got to get out in front of people. You have to tell people what you are doing. Hallelujah. And every testimony of every person that came to my mother's door, hallelujah, the testimony was that God had told them to come to this place. Hallelujah. And there was something else that God began to do for us, is that He began to send ministry into our midst. Hallelujah. Ministry that had a knowledge of what it was that God was doing in the newness of what we call church. Now, I have to tell you that what we were doing at that time was very radical. It was in the mid to the late 70s, 1970s. Hallelujah. It was unheard of to go to your house to have church. Hallelujah. And you know, if you did that, then you would be considered rebellious. You would be considered out of order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Are you still there? Praise the Lord. I want to make sure you're listening. Praise the Lord. If I see your head nodding, I want it to be sure that you're saying yes, amen, and not falling asleep. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God began to send ministry into our midst. Hallelujah. And you know, as time went by, the movement began, not just with me, but all across the United States. Hallelujah. Little groups began to spring up. And it became so prolific and so successful that the churches started getting concerned. Hallelujah. One of the people that came to my mother's door was an Episcopal woman who was up in the upper echelon of the Episcopal Church. They had put her on a year's sabbatical. and gave her the money and gave her the tickets to go back and forth across the United States to examine these home fellowship movements. Hallelujah. I don't know how she found us, but find us she did. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I've often wondered what happened to that woman. Because when she came, she got an earful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The church, over a period of time, labeled the movement. And the movement, the label really originated with the Catholic Church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They begin to call it the Charismatic Renewal. Hallelujah. Have you heard that term before? Charismatic Renewal. Hallelujah. Well, maybe none of you are old enough. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But it was a prelude to the message that began to come to us in the United States. Hallelujah. My goodness. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I was going to preach something. I was going to say something else to you this morning. But it seems as God wants you to have a history lesson. Hallelujah. One of the ministries that came to us there was in the form of a man and his wife called Brother and Sister Ducille. Hallelujah. I don't remember exactly how it was that he found us, but find us he did. Hallelujah. And he had been sent as a missionary from Jamaica. Him and his wife, he was of African descent. He was a mixture of African and French. Hallelujah. But he was born and bred in Jamaica. Hallelujah. And he had had a very unique experience with God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm very qualified to talk to you about this man, because I spent the next 39 or 40 years in very close fellowship with him and his wife, and I have traveled extensively with them from the time I was a young man and until the time that they passed away in 2009. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God had put him into the school of hard knocks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he called him and delivered him from a spirit of anger, a spirit of malice and murder, and a spirit of violence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He delivered him. Miraculously delivered him. Hallelujah. And then he took him and began to share with him the word, or the basis of the word that we are now bringing to you. Hallelujah. He was not ordained by a church. He had no affiliation. And the word to Brother and Sister Ducille was that in the course of time, hallelujah, God would send them to the United States as missionaries to pioneer this word that we're bringing to you just before the coming destruction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you know, God does not look at time the same way that we look at time. And so in what they had heard from God, and when God released them to come, hallelujah, they thought they had a very short time. Hallelujah. But it has been 50 years, probably, since they originally came to the United States. Hallelujah. But brethren, if a day is as 1,000 years unto the Lord, what do you think a moment or just before the destruction might mean in God's economy? Hallelujah. We cannot look at things from from man's perspective. We have to look at it from God's perspective. Hallelujah. What I do know, hallelujah, is that we are a whole lot closer to that destruction in the United States as well as in the global economy of things. Hallelujah. Are you conscious how much your lifestyle and your mode of living is globally dependent? Hallelujah. And some of you may not have the global dependence that other civilizations or other societies have concerning the way they live. Hallelujah. We in the United States have become very globally dependent. Hallelujah. We outsource all of our activities of business and all of the different things. Hallelujah. We move our factories to foreign countries. Hallelujah. We get our oil from other places, even though we have a resource that is inexhaustible. Hallelujah. We are globally dependent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, there's something to be said about all of that. Because when I believe that the scripture talks about economic and political Babylon, the United States plays a predominant role in that position of operation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what I also know, hallelujah, is that when Babylon fell, there was a lamentation and a cry of all the merchants of the world. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? It says that they stood afar off, as though not to be a partaker of their judgment. Hallelujah. But when you see something of that catastrophic happening with a political, economical, military influence that has played such a predominant role in the shaping of world economies, you can cannot but help feel and see the disaster of your own economy in the same way crumbling and falling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there are many that are going to start dancing in the streets. There are many who will begin to start dancing in the streets when this event begins to happen. I hope that you will not be one of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope that you will see the handwriting on the wall. Because it's only going to be a matter of time when you will begin to feel the effect of it. And that effect will begin to affect your position, your place of stability and strength. Hallelujah. Because God is not interested in just dealing with one aspect of or one governmental entity. Hallelujah. He is interested in bringing judgment to the global economy of what he calls the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My prayer is not that God judgment will not come, because it is coming. We're past the point of no return. Hallelujah. And I will tell you the indictment that is against the U.S. The indictment against the U.S. is their lack of diligence in seeking the face of a living God. Hallelujah. One of the reasons, or the main reasons, that God allowed the birthing of the United States, hallelujah, was for the sake of the preservation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that we are a Christian nation. Hallelujah. Because all governments, all countries are under the government of hell. But God uses some of the things in the midst of that hell to preserve His word. Hallelujah. Because one of the fundamental rights that I used to have as an American citizen is the freedom and the liberty to worship God. I had that liberty. There was a law against you not permitting me to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in my pursuit of that liberty of God, hallelujah, I also had the liberty to promote God in the fashion that I myself was seeking in, and give it to others. Hallelujah. And as the United States gained in preeminence and predominance over world economies, hallelujah, we had something that many of the countries did not have. We had the liberty to go into places that other people could not go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that just one of the things that God showed me is that England was such a country at one time. But when England began to backslide into Catholicism again, hallelujah, the mantle of that position are the keepers of faith, are the keepers of the torch, hallelujah, was passed to those that migrated to the United States. Hallelujah. 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 Much of Africa has been explored by missionaries, and Christianity in one form or another established in many places by Englishmen and by American citizens, people who were citizens of America. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I see the destruction, hallelujah, of America and the things that are being done to it to culminate that destruction, it's very painful. Hallelujah. But I also understand that it is very necessary, because America has forsaken God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And with that forsaking of God, it initiates the wheels of God's judgment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, it's taken us a long time to come to this place. Hallelujah. But the scenario that I am relating to you, hallelujah, is a scenario that the devil works over and over and over again in every society. Hallelujah. The devil knows that he cannot stop you from getting saved. If you have the unction, if you have the anointing to be saved, devil cannot stop you from being saved. Hallelujah. So the devil decided to get into church. Hallelujah. And he began to move in the environment of church and to begin to propagate a religious doctrine of salvation. Hallelujah. You go to church, you get saved, you get baptized, maybe you get baptized in the Spirit, you speak in tongues. Hallelujah. You know, there is a illustration in the Bible, and it is a picture of God's plan. It is called the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Everything about the tabernacle is prophetic. There is nothing that is written in your Bible that you cannot find in the tabernacle. And there is nothing in the tabernacle that you cannot find in the Bible. So the Bible witnesses to the tabernacle. The tabernacle witnesses to the Bible. And you know, God in His wisdom knew that they were going to change the Bible. It was the church that changed the Bible. They wanted to make it easier for you to read it, for you to understand it. Can you imagine man and the presumptuousness of his thinking that they, in their finite mind, can figure out what God wrote in His infinite mind? Hallelujah. That they could think that they could become a better interpreter of the Bible, hallelujah, than the Spirit of God that God gives you to understand the Bible. Than the Spirit of God, that they could give you a clearer understanding other than the Spirit of God that He gives you to understand the Bible. Hallelujah. Like I said, everything about this tabernacle is prophetic. And it's this word of the tabernacle that the man that I talked to you about brought to us as a people. This man spent, we have his books here somewhere. We have his book somewhere here. He gives you a little short testimony of his experience. And he met with man. He met with God, the pattern by Brother Duciel. This does not replace the Bible, by the way. You cannot read this book without reading your Bible. And you cannot go into some place and quote this book and not know the Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I could just as well, probably, let's see. Hallelujah. Huh? Bible. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Duciel was a man who did not mind you asking him questions. You could ask him any question that you wanted to ask him. And the man always had an answer from the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We should be so astute. We should be so diligent. Hallelujah. So we have this pattern. We have this pattern. And God was smart. God was knew that man was going to change the Bible. But no matter how much they change the Bible, they always have to put the picture or relate to you the story of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. They don't change it. They always put it in there the same way. Now, what they do change is the incremental measurements of the things that are in your Bible. Now, I don't know what your Swahili Bible does. If they convert it to millimeters or kilograms or whatever. If you do that, you lose the revelation that is in the number. There are revelations in the numbers in your Bible. Now, I am not a mathematician. I have a hard time just trying to keep my checkbook balanced. Or if somebody starts throwing different figures at me, trying to get me to add them up in my brain. Hallelujah. I have difficulty. I can well do this over here. And I can always come up with the wrong answer. But there are other people who have that expertise. The Hebrew, as well as the Greek language, is a numerical language. That means that every letter has a numerical value. So you can put certain words together with certain numerical values, and you can come up with a number that is significant and pertains to a spiritual understanding that God wants to give you. Hallelujah. There is a man back in the 1800s whose name was from Numbers. That book is online and it's available. If you have access to a computer, that you can just type in his name and you will get his book on Numbers. It took him years. Took him years to accumulate the knowledge and to put it into a form that could be read. Hallelujah. So he can go through all of the numbers as they pertain to scriptures. Hallelujah. But there are certain things that about the tabernacle that I want to illustrate to you this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And first and foremost is the dimensions of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. It was to be 50 cubits. It was to be 50 cubits wide and 100 cubits long. Hallelujah. If you take 50 and 50 and 100 and 100, you come up with the number 300. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is 300 indicative of? Do you know? Hallelujah. 300 is indicative of an overcoming company of people. Now, how do I get that understanding? That should be your first question. How do I know that? Well, because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. If you will go into your Old Testament and you will go to the book of Judges, there was a man called Gideon. Hallelujah. And Israel in the time of Gideon was under the hand of the Midianites. They were being oppressed by the Midianites. But they were not only being oppressed by the Midianites. Hallelujah. They were also adopting the religious practice of the Midianites. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So one day, God calls Gideon. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, I think God is prophetic, of course. But I think God also has a sense of humor. But when he called Gideon, he said to Gideon, "Oh Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Well, if you look at or examine Gideon's behavior, he wasn't such a mighty man. First and foremost, he wasn't really sure he was even hearing from God. Hallelujah. So he had to test God. Hallelujah. Do some of you test God? Hallelujah. The church knows a lot about the fleecing of God. The church knows a lot about the fleecing of God. You know what I mean?
Fleecing.
Gideon put a fleece, a sheepskin. Hallelujah. He put a sheepskin, a fleece, out before the Lord. And he said, "All right, God, if that's you, then I want dew on around the fleece, but not on the fleece. Hallelujah. He laid down his head and he went to sleep. Next morning he got up. What did he find? It was exactly as he asked. But that wasn't good enough. He said, all right, now let me see. What can I think of? Oh, all right, put the dew on the fleece, but nothing around it. Hallelujah. How much better would it have been if Gideon would have responded the first time? Hallelujah. How much greater would have been the position of Gideon had he not done what he did? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we find ourselves oftentimes in like manner. And we find ourselves in like position because our condition is the same as Gideon. Hallelujah. Gideon had been living under the oppressive economical, political, religious environment of the Midianites. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it had eroded his position or reality of Jesus Christ, of God, the Jehovah. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? The man had been taught in some way or another of the history of Israel, of the things that God did for Israel, of the experiences of Israel. I am sure that he was given the stories of Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. I'm sure he was given the stories of El Shaddai. Hallelujah. I'm sure that he was given the stories of all of those aspects of God as he had moved in the behalf of Israel to redeem them and to save them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he had been sitting under a corrupt society that had a corrupted religion, and the corruptness of that religion began to corrupt his position of reality of the things that he had heard. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a young man growing up, my mother used to say to me, she used to say, Burton, bad company corrupts good manners. You know, my mother, thank God for her, she really did love the Lord, and she really loved her boys, and she really wanted to see her boys walking in the Lord. And she prayed for us, and she disciplined us. Hallelujah. You did not want to get on the bad side of Mama. Because Mama had this, what we call a razor strap, that had belonged to her father, and it was a piece of leather about that wide. It was about that thick, and it was doubled, and it was about this long. It had a leather thong that you would put around your wrist. You would hook it on it, onto something, got where it was folded, you would hook it over and you would pull it and turn it. And Grandpa would take his straight razor and he would sharpen it on that razor strap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Mom didn't need a razor strap to sharpen a razor. Mom needed a razor strap to sharpen her boys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Mom was not afraid to apply Bible. And when you push Mom too far, not that she was angry or out of control, she would take that razor strap down, she would take us into the closet, hallelujah, and she began to sharpen us up, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you do not discipline your children, you do not love them. You do not love them. Hallelujah. Hebrews says that God disciplines us, that God chastises us because we are sons and He loves us. Hallelujah. So we need to understand the need of being sharpened. Praise the Lord. So Gideon, hallelujah, finds himself in a peculiar place. Hallelujah. Gideon is a type in a shadow of the church today. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that your Bible is living? Do you believe that this Bible, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, do you really believe it's living? All right. If it is living, then everything that is written in it, whether it was written 6,000 or 7,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, or 3,000 years ago, hallelujah, hallelujah, is still real and living. Hallelujah. The church as a whole wants to relegate it to history. Did you hear me? They want to make it a history book. A history book, by definition, is not something that is pertinent for you today. Now, I don't mean in that you can learn from history, but I mean that and when it was spoke in history, it is now also being spoke today, and it is as applicable to us as a people as it was spoken in that time frame in the past. Hallelujah. Now, I believe it was Brother Chijoki that began to tell us that and give an account of the living worthiness of this book. I mean the spiritual aspect of it. Not only is it living, but it is spiritual. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you believe that God wrote this Bible? Do you really, really, really believe it? Huh? Then you have to believe in the spiritual reality of what is written. have to believe in the spiritual realities of the lives that were lived and the way that people died as a spiritual reality that is pertinent to you in this hour and has a importance in your life and your development as far as God is concerned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have a word for you too. Hallelujah. There is a work.
Kuna kazi.
It's a work that God has for you to do.
Kuna kazi Mungu ako nayo kufanya.
It's not what you're doing now, whatever that may be, I don't know. But there is a burden and a responsibility and an accountability that God is giving to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's giving it to you as a unit, not individually. Hallelujah. If one or the other of you try to take it and use it individually, it will not work. Not only will it not work, but it will work against you. Hallelujah. So it's very necessary for you to work together. Hallelujah. Not in times past. There is a higher level of unity. A higher level of consecration that God is bringing you into. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as He brings you into that level, hallelujah, it is not a matter of what you do, it is a matter of what God is going to do. And He's going to start bringing you hungry souls. Hallelujah. Hungry for a reality of God. There are going to be people in poverty. There are going to be people in places of sickness and disease. Hallelujah. And it's not what you can do for them in the natural that is going to bring a resolution to their circumstances. Although there may be a requirement in all of that. And it is not that you are to look for your help outside of your position of relationship with God and with each other. Hallelujah. And as you begin to reconcile yourselves to this position of ministry, God will begin to open the doors for you. It is not who you know. It is not what you know. It is going to be on the basis of your unity with God and with each other. Hallelujah. There are some difficulties. But as you begin to pray and discuss and to meditate together with God, God will begin to give each of you harmony in your way of thinking. Hallelujah. And your way of looking. Now, you heard the word harmony, right? Hallelujah. Harmony is not seeing the same thing necessarily in the same way. Hallelujah. Harmony is like music. Hallelujah. You have someone singing in an octave up here, and you have someone singing in an octave down here. But as you bring the two octaves together, they harmonize and blend, and they bring out the fullness of the melody and the song that blesses the soul. Hallelujah. And so it shall be with you also. It will be as an instrument that God plays. Did you hear me? As an instrument that God plays. And the tune of it will be heard, and it will bring a response in many people in many different places. Hallelujah. And they shall be coming to you. Hallelujah. Father, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I commit this word unto you. Hallelujah. Let it be confirmed, my God, in more than one mouth. It says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. And so it is also that we ask for that confirmation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the story of Gideon. Hallelujah. When it all came down and Gideon finally decided, hallelujah, that it was really God talking to him. Hallelujah. You're going to have to decide if you think what you're hearing is really God. Hallelujah. Some of you are undecided. And that's good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But if you just wait and sit on it, but nothing is going to happen. You have to get into God. Hallelujah. But when God finally decided, when Gideon finally decided this was God, there were certain things that Gideon had to do before he was a fit man. Do you know what the Bible, when it talks about a fit man? Hallelujah. It has to do with the offering and on the Day of Atonement, isn't it? Hallelujah. There are two animals that are brought for sacrifice, right? Hallelujah. There is the ram that is the sin offering, but there is the goat offering. And what happens is that the priest lays his hand upon the goat. Hallelujah. After Israel has laid all of its hands on the priest. Hallelujah. If he did not do what God instructed him to do, hallelujah, what Israel did to him would kill him. Did you hear me? If what Israel did, Israel laid their hands upon the high priest. And when they laid their hands, they passed all of their sins. You're talking about 3 million plus people. Hallelujah. All of their sins were being passed to that high priest. Hallelujah. And if he did not do what God instructed him to do, he was a dead man. Hallelujah. But he had to take, and he had to place his hands upon that goat. Hallelujah. And then the sin that was on him, because of the laying on of hands, was passed to the goat. Hallelujah. But it wasn't finished. It needed a fit man. The Bible says in the King James, a fit man. Hallelujah. That means somebody who is consecrated. Somebody who is dedicated. But more important than any of those, a man that has been sanctified. Hallelujah. A man that has been clean. A man that has been cleansed. A man whose conscience toward God is open. Hallelujah. And he was to lead that goat out into wilderness to die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not yet fit men. But we are in the process of being fit, becoming fit men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are in the process of being sanctified. Hallelujah. That is, if I sanctify myself. Brother, I cannot sanctify you. Sister, I cannot sanctify you. I cannot sanctify you, brother. It is not in my power to sanctify you. I can't lay hands on you and say, brother, be sanctified. Hallelujah. If you want to be sanctified, I can lay hands on you and say, God, begin the process of sanctification. Hallelujah. But we are not yet fit men. Hallelujah. We are like the children of Israel prior to the entrance into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. We have not yet crossed over that Jordan. Hallelujah. We are gathered as a company of people. Hallelujah. Encamped upon that bank. But there was some of that host. There was some of that host. Hallelujah. Who had decided they didn't want to go. That they wanted what it was they had. Hallelujah. God says, okay, you can do that. But it's not going to excuse you. It's not going to eliminate your position of accountability and responsibility. It's not going to release you from your position of vulnerability. You have to go with the rest of them and fight. That means they would have to, not only would they have to fight, but some of them would die in the midst of the battle prior to going in. Hallelujah. God called to Joshua, and he said to Joshua, gather together a solemn assembly. Hallelujah. And the word to that solemn assembly of Israel was that they had to sanctify themselves. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the wisdom of God in all of that? You're going up against a formidable enemy. And God takes all the men of war and he circumcises them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine sending a man into war? Hand-to-hand conflict. All the environment of that, and he has just been circumcised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, in your weakness. In your position of weakness, I am made strong. Hallelujah. The counsel of God is always contrary to the wisdom of man. Hallelujah. Paul said the wisdom of God, the foolishness of God, is greater than the greatest wisdom of man. Let me put it this way. If you are in a place of being consecrated, if you are in a place of being clean, and you feel very low, you are at the optimum of God's ability to move in your situation. You're at the optimum. It will never get any better than that. Hallelujah. Because he moves in the midst of it. You obligate God by your response to God. My Bible says that if I draw nigh to God, God has to draw nigh to me. He has to. He has to. But I have to come on His terms. Did you hear me? I have to come on His terms. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It was several years ago. Hallelujah. My wife's not here to tell me exactly. She's my timekeeper. And by the way, she sends her greetings to all of you. She wished she could have been here. But we are moving for a period of time to Ethiopia, so she had to get the house in order and do things that needed to be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Things have to be done in order, in a decent manner. Hallelujah. And it has to go according to His rule, not ours. You know, every time I think I got God figured out, He takes a left or a right turn. Hallelujah. And if I'm not careful, I'm walking down the road, think I'm following God. All of a sudden, I stop. He went that way. Hallelujah. I have been in this word for a long time. A long time. And I believe it. And you know, I would never think of myself as a pastor. I have preached against it. I see the fallacy of it. I see the trouble in it. I see how it's contrary to the work of God. But you know, I have been involved with church a long time. Been involved in it. Involved in it. I love it. I love it. Do you hear me? I love getting together with the people. I love the flow of the Spirit. I love it. I like to hear the Word of God. It quickens my soul. Hallelujah. Many times when we travel, I don't say anything. I just sit. I sit and listen. I don't have to preach, you understand. I'd rather sit and listen. Hallelujah. And listen and listen. I am blessed with the people, and I feel something for the people. I see them in a place of suffering, and I want to help them. I see something of a want, and I want to help try to fix it. Hallelujah. If there's somebody hungry, I want to feed them. And I think many, many, many of you have the same experience. Hallelujah. But it can be used against you. And I'm not one of these persons that will just sit down and twiddle my thumbs. You know what I mean? If there's a need, I will say, look, brethren, we have this need, blah, 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 so, 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 and so, and so. What can we do to fix it? How can we help do it? Can we pray? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do something in the actual hourity of it? And nobody does anything. Nobody does anything. Or if they do anything, they want to form a committee. Do you know about committees? Feed the poor committees? Huh? Born again committees? Huh? Youth committees? Huh? Economic committees? Building committees? Huh? You know about committees? Huh? We talk it to death. We talk it to death. Hallelujah. You know, I really thank God for my training as a young man. As I was following Brother and Sister Ducille around carrying their suitcases. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Ducille was a man that believed that if you have the means to meet or at least somehow help in the matter, you put forth that which you have. Hallelujah. You dig down in your pocket. You may not have much in your pocket, but what you have, God can multiply it. You know, when I was a young man in this gospel, I had to work. I had a family. At that particular time, I had 4 children, from babies up to ages of 10 or 11 or 12. Hallelujah. I had to work. I was a carpenter. I was a builder. Hallelujah. And I wasn't one of those prolific builders. I wasn't one of those prosperous builders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was too exact. I was too precise in my building to make money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, it would come time for us to go on a... Brother DeSille would call me and said, Brother Bird, want you to pray with me about going to so and so and so and so and so and so. Hallelujah. I had no money. I had no money. Had no money. But what I did have was the promise of money. The promise of money. Hallelujah. But I had to go out on a limb for that promise. One of the benefits of being born in the country that I was born in, and in the society that we lived in, was that we had a thing called credit. Hallelujah. It was a little piece of plastic. Hallelujah. There were many people at that time that he was talking to. Hallelujah. And some of them says, yes, I will pray about it. And if God provides, I will go. God told me it's not in the provision. God said it is in the Word. It is hearing from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is to motivate you. And you don't hear just with your ear. There is a confirmation that comes from you outside of that environment. And it has never failed me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And time and time again, God would give me a job. I would make enough money to pay for my family, to take care of the time that I was going to be gone, and to give me a little bit when I got back to in order for God to give me another job. Hallelujah. So I would finish one job, pack my suitcase, hallelujah, get on the plane going to Nigeria. Hallelujah. We would be in Nigeria for 2, 3, 4 weeks. Hallelujah. I would come home, get out of the plane, go home, unpack my suitcase, and go to work. Hallelujah. And you know something? God didn't always pay my bill off. He would not always pay my travel bill off immediately. Sometimes there was a big residue of it. I would pay all of my bills. I'd pay all of my upkeep of the home. And then whatever I'd have, I would apply it to the travel expense. Hallelujah. And sometimes that bill rolled over into the next trip. And 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 sometimes that pile got higher and higher and higher. Hallelujah. Did I say, oh God, where are you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Or the next time my telephone rang, and I answered it, and Brother Dusil would say, Brother Bert, I'm praying about India. Will you go? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can say, well, Brother Dusil, I got this pile of travel bill. Hallelujah. That hasn't been paid yet. I said, no. I didn't say that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said, I will pray. And if God said to go, I pull my plastic out and I put it down on the table.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know, over the years, God has taken care of everything. Hallelujah. When he has seen me come through the load of debt on my back. Hallelujah. If he sees that I'm responding in the correct manner, I'm doing the proper thing, he knows, because that lesson is finished. That time of instruction is over. There's something that has been written indelibly upon my heart. Hallelujah. So that I never have a thought about paying whatever it takes to travel, whether I have it or I don't have it. Hallelujah. What I have is a word from God to go. Hallelujah. 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 God is wanting fit men. Fit men. Clean men. Sanctified men. They have no motive. Hallelujah. So I find myself working in church. And slowly but surely I'm growing in the Lord. My authority is growing. My authority in God is growing. My knowledge in God is expanding. Hallelujah. My strength in God is expanding. But my strength in God is also starting to overshadow the congregation. Hallelujah. But you know, God knows my heart. He knows I do not want to be pastor. But the devil is using all of the goodness of God and the desire in me for God in the people to push me into this place of overshadowing the congregation. Hallelujah. How do you think God fixed it? How do you think God fixed it? Huh? God allowed a spirit of contention to be bred in the midst of the body, in the midst of the fellowship. There were lies that were being told. There were stories that were not true. There were thoughts and things that were being spoken and said. Hallelujah. God allowed that spirit to begin to rise up against me and my wife. He allowed it to come out in a conference-like setting. Hallelujah. I mean, we were not guilty of what was being spoken, but yet we were being charged and assumed to be guilty and tried in the midst of the congregation. Hallelujah! Thank God for that experience. Hallelujah. Because it pulled me up short. Hallelujah. And I begin to see, after I got through the pain of it, Hallelujah. After I got through the hurt of it, I begin to see God's hand in it. And you know, the word of counsel that came from me, from outside, the word of counsel, which was the word of God to me, it says, withdraw, but do not withhold. Hallelujah. And so God began to extract me out of all of the activity I was involved in. Hallelujah. And the things that I had built, I had to give to another. And I had to watch it destroyed. Hallelujah. But it says, out of beauty, out of ashes comes beauty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It takes a fit man. A fit man. And God is laying the platform now with what it is that He is bringing to you to prepare you to be a fit vessel. A vessel has to be fit. A vessel has to be willing to be broken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, God is going to sift you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is going to sift you. He's going to sift each and every one of you. There have been circumstances that are now being put in place in your different environments, in your different relationships, in different communities, maybe in different lands. They're being prepared for you right now because God is sifting. He's sifting. Hallelujah!
Amen.
He told Gideon to gather all of Israel to go to war. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And they gathered 30-some thousand. 32,000. They gathered 32,000. So God said to Gideon, the people are too many. Look around. You think the people are too many? God is sifting. He's going to sift you. He wants to know the level of your want to. The level of your want to. How much do you really want to know God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's told Gideon, tell those that don't want the fight, they can go home. And so Gideon did. 22,000 of them. 22,000 of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Decided they wanted to go home. They went home. Hallelujah. They did not even get what David's men got that stayed by the stuff. They did not even get the reward that David's men got that stayed by the stuff. They got nothing. 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 Except the stuff they took home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I can guarantee you they did not hang on to it very long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God said to Gideon, there's still too many. At least Israel does and overcomes, and they are credited to their own strength. Hallelujah. He said, bring them down to the water now. Bring them down to the water now. Why did he bring them down to the water? What was in the water? Hallelujah.
Amen.
What was the water? Remember, this is a spiritual book. It might have been natural water, but it had a spiritual application. Hallelujah. He was bringing them down to the water. Bringing you down to the water. Water is indicative of the Word of God. The Bible says, it is the washing of the water of the Word of God. That brings a cleansing, a sanctification. Hallelujah! Unless a man is baptized. Hallelujah! He goes down into the water. Hallelujah! And he comes up out of that water a new man. Hallelujah! It says he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Must be baptized, born of the water, born of the Spirit, to enter into the kingdom of God. We think it's enough just to say, I believe. That's not what my Bible says. Not what my Bible says. John chapter 3. Huh? I must be born of the blood. I must be born of the blood. Altar of sacrifice. Hallelujah. I must be born of the blood. Blood brings life. I was dead, but now I am alive. Hallelujah. There is here within the tabernacle. There is a building that is divided into two parts. Hallelujah. And it is indicative of a three-dimensional process of change. Did you hear me? I said dimensional. That means there's height, there's depth, there's width, there's breadth. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. And God intends for us to go from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. Brethren, listen to what God says. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A God has no beginning. He has no end. Suddenly has a beginning and he has an end. Hallelujah. Beginning of the process that God ordained for you and I to be perfect, to be sons, and God always finishes what he starts. Hallelujah! God always finishes. He's not like some of us. You know, I had to overcome not finishing what I start. I begin to remodel my bathroom. And I remodel. I get it to a place where it can be used. And all of a sudden my attention is captured by something else. So I leave what I'm doing and I go over there and I start doing this. And I start doing that. Hallelujah! And then I get distracted and I go over here. And I start doing this and I start doing that. And pretty soon I got this project. Nothing's finished. Nothing's done. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of diversion. And as I am being diverted in the natural arena, hallelujah, I am being diverted in the spiritual aspect of my soul. I start this little process of sanctification in my mind. And I get distracted by something in my emotions. So I go over there and begin to work on my emotion. And I get so distracted by something in my desires. So I go over there and I've got all these half-finished projects. Some people who are living in a remodel for 15 or 20 years. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was in a conference in the United States. And it was a very strong conference. A very mature people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as I was in that conference, God took me out of the conference and took me into the Spirit. And I was in the Spirit and I was in this room. It was like an executive's office. Only it was very sparsely furniture. Hallelujah. And there was a desk. And there was what I knew to be God sitting behind the desk. And over here behind God, just off to his right side, there was a soldier standing at parade rest. Hallelujah. And this soldier was like we have in the service in the States, it's called Special Forces. They have a special uniform. They have a special hat. But this man was a man of battle. He had many ribbons. He had the little epaulets on his shoulder. He had the braid that went around. And on his hat, that was like a beret, there was this gold emblem. Hallelujah. And he was very military. He was very precise. He wasn't moving a muscle. Hallelujah. He was looking straight ahead. But in some intuitive way, I knew that he was somehow in tune with what was happening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it was as though the Lord had an appointment. Hallelujah. And he had on his fire, on his desk, which was very clean, by the way. Hallelujah. There was one file folder, and he was looking into this file folder, studying something and meditating something on this file folder. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, there was a chair that was sitting in front of the desk. One of those swivel chairs with arms. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, I did not see him come in, but all of a sudden, there was a man sitting in the chair. And I knew it to be Satan. Because I have had two or three other encounters with Satan. And he's always dressed the same way. Hallelujah. He looks very prosperous. He looks very masculine. He's wearing expensive clothes, silk shirts, gold cufflinks, gold buttons. Hallelujah. His suit is like silk or something. Hallelujah. Shoes, not those $25 shoes. Hallelujah. They're the $500 shoes. Hallelujah. You look at him and he looks like money. He looks like prosperity. But in this particular, although he was dressed the same. Hallelujah. And by the way, he was quite handsome. He didn't have gargoyle things coming out of his head and horns and... Huh? And slime running down his jaws and dirty teeth. Hallelujah. He was quite handsome. Very black, wavy hair. Slick back like an executive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the other times I have met him, he has been very arrogant. Very presumptuous. Very overbearing in his... And he always treated me like dirt. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he was there when Adam was made, you know. I was made a little lower than him. I was made out of a substance that's less than him. So who am I that he should be afraid of me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But this time it wasn't that way. He was sitting in his chair and he was kind of like a schoolboy before the schoolmaster being reprimanded. Kind of squirming in his chair. Kind of slouched over in a rebellious way. Hallelujah. If you're a teacher, you probably know what I'm describing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he had his hand on the arm of the chair, and he had his kind of like on his chin, and he kind of had the chair swiveled a little so he wouldn't have to look at God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord said to him, he says, "Have you seen my people who have gathered in at that place with Schuyler, Nebraska? Have you seen how they come to worship me?" And let me tell you, we were having some good worship services. Not the boom, 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 boom. But the, oh, the love of God welling up in your soul. And your arms and your heart extending. Hallelujah. And the melodious tones of God in the midst of the praise of the people. No instruments playing. Hallelujah. I saw the host of heaven coming in into the meeting. And every time a contingent of them would come in, the praise would lift another notch. Hallelujah. We as a church do not know what praise is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, it says of some of the fighting, it says that they were to send the praisers.
Yes. During the fight.
They were to send the praisers in before the army came in. Hallelujah. When the king wanted a word from the Lord, and he called the prophet to give him the word, what did the prophet do? He called for the praisers. He says, "Bring me the praisers, and let us begin to praise the Lord." And as they begin to praise the Lord, it begin to open the hearts of the people. And as the people's hearts begin to open, it begin to open heaven. Hallelujah! And God came down into that environment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the kind of praise I'm hungry for. Hallelujah. That's the kind of praise my soul wants to feed on. As we begin to move in that type of worship and adoration of God. Hallelujah. It's my soul that begins to respond. Did you hear me? It's my soul that begins to respond. Not my body. Not my body. Not my body. Hallelujah. I do not respond first with my body. I respond in love and adoration and worship of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as I open my soul, God comes down into my being. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he begins to feed me. Feed me. Feed me. And it fills my soul. And it begins to come out of my soul into my body. Hallelujah. And begins to move out into the arena of the congregation. Hallelujah. And the manifestation is you will see people getting healed. You will see people having visions. You will have words of prophecy from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will begin to instruct us as individuals, individually and as well as collectively. Hallelujah! Praise should be like the plow that goes down into the dirt. And as you move through the dirt, turning that earth up and over. You know, I wasn't only a carpenter. I was also a farmer.
And you are
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I love the plow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Getting into that tractor, we had that big, what we call a chisel tooth. Hallelujah. It was about that they had these big steel shanks. Hallelujah. That were at least 36 inches, maybe 4 foot. And I have a tractor that had 109 horsepower. Hallelujah. You start that tractor and you stick that thing down in the dirt. Hallelujah. And it goes so deep in the dirt. And you begin to put the gas to it. My God. That ground snaps and pops and breaks and explodes. Hallelujah! The Bible says we are to break up our fallow ground. Hallelujah. Those rocks and those things, clods like rocks that come out of that dirt that's buried down there. Hallelujah. But it opens the ground. It opens it wide so that you can come and begin to cast your seed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it talks about fertile ground in the spirit, in the Bible, it talks about ground that has been prepared. It talks about ground that has been prepared. You know, when you go into Matthew, it's chapter 13, the parable of the sower. There's several different conditions. I don't know any good farmer that will farm on rocks. I don't know any good farmer that will not deal with the weed population in his field. I know farmers that will farm that way. But I don't know a good farmer. And I don't know any farmer that farms that way that gets a yield or gets a harvest that is worth the effort that he put into it. And all of those farmers eventually go bankrupt. And they blame it on the weather. They blame it on the weather. They blame it on the dirt. They blame it on the seed that they had. They blame it on this and they blame it on that. They never come to the consciousness. It is their lack of diligence, of preparation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants diligent, fit people. So God brought him down to the water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He brought him down to the water. And God said, it's very important. This is something God said. And when God said something, it's eternal. It means it goes out of his mouth to do a certain thing. And it goes from one generation to the next generation. And the next generation to the next generation. Until it gets down to the end generation. Hallelujah! And it is expected to bring back to him the full measure of what it was he required when he sent it out. And God said, bring them down to the water. And I will try them there. When you go home, When you go home and you find tribulation and you find fire and you find trouble, be careful on whom you blame it. Did you hear me? Be careful on whom you put the responsibility of it. Whether it be another personality, a circumstance, or even if it, you think it might be the devil. Be careful, because God is going to try you. God wants to try you. Because there is something in your soul. There is something in your soul that is saying, I want to be 300. Something in your soul saying, I want to be like Gideon's company. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when the trying was all done, I suppose we could think, well, now we can breathe a sigh of relief. You mean like we just got through the final university exam and glad that's over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh no. Hallelujah. Oh no. 300. How, going up against, how many were there? 120,000?
Without number.
Without number. Without number. Can you imagine the quality of character that it would take in a man who looks around and sees a little 300, a 299 more faces just like his? Do you understand the quality of faith that is required? There has to be an experience. There has to be a relationship in God with that individual to even get him to go and submit to that type of situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you're just given a sword and a pitcher with a candle in it. Can you imagine looking out into that valley and seeing the multitude of that army, all the accoutrements of their warfare, and you're sitting there with a little sword and a pitcher? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says in Corinthians, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, of what? The power of His glory. Did you hear it? The power of His resurrection. Hallelujah! The power of His presence. There was one final thing they had to do. They had to go out there in strategic locations. And was it, did they blow a horn? They blew a trumpet. Hallelujah. And at the sound of the trumpet, they were to break the vessel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they were to shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Hallelujah! It says that it is a broken and contrite spirit that is an offering that God will not despise. It means He will not reject. It means that He is obligated to move. Hallelujah. And to do what needs to be done that you cannot do. Hallelujah. And there is a word that is spoken to us in John chapter 1. It's spoken to us in the aspect of being, it's speaking of God and what Jesus Christ became and what it is that He wants of us. It says in verse 8, He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true life. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was not in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. Hallelujah. Let me just say briefly that if there is a lot of world in you, there is a very little knowing of who and what God is that you possess. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But many as received Him, to them He gave power. Power! Did you hear it? Power! Power to heal. Power to prophesy. Power to be rich. Power to be a good church. Power. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Power to become sons. Power to become sons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My question in finishing for you, is from what source cometh what you call being born again? Are you born to be ecclesiastical? In your thinking, in your actions, in your behaviors? Or are you called to be sons? God bless you. Dismember me.
Oh my God.
Amen. Let's appreciate the Lord for that word in Jesus' name. Today is my confidence to appreciate that word. Amen. Let us stand on our feet, please.